I want to remind myself that I had a shout out by the rapper Example for ISAD Day. He put me on his story multiple times, which is the personal highlight of my entire life now because I love Example. And the second thing is just to reiterate what we were talking about earlier with having that vision of home. And if you have the faith and have the resilience to, keep going, to push through the hard days, the challenges, and have that vision of where you want to achieve, that no matter how long it takes, you will get there if you want it enough and you're willing to go through the hard times and put in a lot of hard work.
You're listening to the Underdog Way podcast with me, Ruben Pillai, where I interview amazing guests who face adversity, overcome challenges, and found their purpose. We share stories to inspire change. Remember, your change will begin when you turn inspiration into action. This episode is brought to you in partnership with the Stop Holding Back Foundation, a charity really close to my heart that is focused on the personal development of people who stutter. A big shout out to everyone part of the SHB family. I love you all and thank you for the support. Every corner twice as bright, there'll be my treasures forever. When I can't hold you tight, I'll see the Stockholm lights. Hello, hello, welcome back to the show. Today's guest is none other than Callum Schofield, host of the Schofield Stories podcast. And we've been friends since probably the start of this year, and it does feel like we've known each other a lot longer than that because of the amount of forums and Zoom calls and different types of meeting events that we have been involved in. But he's become kind of a key part of the SHB organization and has led on quite a lot of things. He's very, very cool guy, and I get a chance to actually interview him and ask him some questions about his progression as a person who started, just trying to get over his fears, to now becoming pretty polished and seasoned podcaster, interviewing a host of familiar faces in the UK, from Olympic athletes, TV personalities, comedians, and many, many other people. Hope you enjoy this episode of the Underdog Way podcast. I had a great time catching up with a good friend, and I hope you can gain something from this conversation. Thank you very much. All right, we're recording. It's Ruben Pillai here. Today, with Mr. Callum, the Schof, Schofield. How's it going, Callum?
Yeah, it's all good. We just said off camera that we got a lot of catching up to do. And what's a better place to do it than on the Underdog Way podcast?
Brilliant, brilliant. First of all, I have to ask, how is university going? Because I believe you are in first year in Leeds.
Yeah, I'm up in Leeds, my first year, and yeah, it's going really well. I think I'm just evening it out now that I've probably been sober for more days than I've not been. I think that's just coming about all even now after 2 weeks of solid drinking. But yeah, it's getting to the real university now, and I'm still enjoying it just as much.
What I realize as well is that we've been speaking while you have been there and just exchanging messages every now and then, and you've been updating me, but I've got no idea what course you're studying.
I am doing international tourism management.
All right, good. Which gives an idea of what we've been talking about, which has not been linked to education at all.
No, not at all. But yeah, it's an interesting course. Very interested so far. It's early days, but yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Hopefully it'll allow me to do a lot of traveling in the coming years as well.
Fingers crossed when things get a bit more travel friendly. So right, Callum is on this podcast because he's actually a pretty incredible guy, in my very educated opinion. He's also a person who stutters just like myself, and he's achieved a hell of a lot. And I've said it before to him and to other people, it would have been really cool to have met someone like Callum when I was his age, which is...
I'm 19.
19 years old, and you'll be 20 when exactly?
Next June, so yeah, I'm a young one in the terms of being 19.
So this dude is 19 years old. He's personally started, he's got a podcast that hit kind of some new heights this summer, which we'll get into. But I wanted to like really ask you about kind of your initial journey, because I have some idea of it, but I came across you when I actually came across your blog first.
So all right.
You started a blog that had a significant reach as well. But in your own words, in your own time, you can share your origin story.
Yeah, well, it's kind of been the last 12 months of where it all happened. But for the 18 years prior to that, it's been, well, I've not worked on my speech. I've not talked about my stutter to anyone. There was times growing up when my mum would talk about it or try to talk about it, and I would shut it down completely. The same with teachers, same with friends. It was just a massive elephant in the room, really. And that all came until I was 18 and I went on the speech project, the Starfish project I went on, which was just over 12 months ago. And that was really the massive turning point that I needed to get me to where I am today. But it's been a roller coaster of 12 months, never mind a roller coaster of 19 years as well.
I think that's a very humble story, because the two of us know quite a few people go through some of these courses, and I've been through them myself. And especially for someone going in as a teenager, people don't reach the heights of achievements that you have personally reached. After you finished your course and went about kind of working on your speech, what actually led you to these particular avenues? Because there must have been some triggers and turning points that actually made you think, hey, I could like really kick on with this blog and start sharing and expressing myself this way, and then subsequently the podcast.
Yeah, well, quite an interesting one. It's about a few days after the course, like 5 or 7 days after I came back from the course, I was due to have jaw surgery. So I went in and had my jaw realigned. And that gave me the sort of motivation, because for a few weeks after that, I was all swollen. I could hardly talk at all. So that gave me a little driving force that I've just learned this technique. I've just said my name for the first time, said my address for the first time. And now I'm having 3 or 4 weeks on the sidelines, you could say, with injury. So that definitely gave me a bit of motivation. But with the course itself, I knew I was ready at the time. As I went down there on my own. I traveled a 4.5 hour drive from Wales down to East or West Sussex, somewhere on the border. So it was all very fortunate timing, or well-aligned timing, you could say. Like, I knew I was ready, or I wanted it. As our friend Jeffrey Staub says, you've got to want it more than you don't want it. And I wanted to overcome the fear of stuttering more than I didn't, and everything was kind of aligned from the moment I left my house on the 24th of September, 2019.
And then your feelings on the way back home, like, did you feel kind of different? Was there any like change that you could sense?
Yeah, definitely. As I know, of course, you get the honeymoon period, as always, but for the drive home, I was stopping at Starbucks and Burger King's just to speak and order without that fear. There was still nerves, a bit of anticipation because, well, 18 years of not wanting these speaking situations to go headfirst into them, then that was still a new experience. But I did feel, very on top of the world after. But I try not to have any expectations going into the course. So when I left feeling so good, I think that also benefited the fact that I had, or I tried to not have any expectations prior to it. So it was beyond what I could have, or what I expected to achieve all of those few days, which definitely helped.
That's amazing because you probably assume that there would be some improvement because you've seen a running thing, but when you actually feel it for yourself, it's a bit different. Did you get any kind of interesting reactions and feedback from the people around you when you returned? Did they sense something a bit different?
It's hard to say. Like, I know in work, yes, unfortunately, I had a good reaction for the first few days in work back in McDonald's. But then, as I spoke more, people who would have or who did walk over me in the past then started kicking up a fuss because I was standing up for myself a bit more because I had this voice. So that did end amazingly well. But overall, with friends, with family, yeah, they were all really supportive. I went to see my grandparents after the course, and because they were proud of me, they gave me to 20 quid. So that was always good because I went and spoke to them. Well done, you're 20 quid. So, it's all good, really. But overall, yeah, it was positive, but I was still not speaking about my stepped that much. Like, it was only International Stammer Awareness Day 2019 that I first publicly and openly spoke about my speech, and that was, well, almost exactly a year ago, and that sort of helped as well. But I had reactions from people I knew, people I didn't know, friends of friends and all that, just telling me and sharing, not even telling me about stuttering as such, but telling me they have stories. Like, someone I used to work with sent me a message about her daughter who's got autism. She said that seeing that I've accepted my stutter has made her want to help her daughter accept her autism a lot more. And having messages like that really gave me it again, gave me that momentum to keep going. As I came back from the course in September, then a month later was ISAD. So it was very much everything. I'm quite, again, fortunate with the timing in that sense, I suppose.
Yeah, I actually had some of my like best experiences sharing stuttering related things and personal things with my wider network and beyond like speech exercises and that kind of stuff. When you start being really, really open and transparent, right, that's when things really change, I believe. And I must say, there's something about grandparents, they always somehow have £20 in their back pocket. Just
You do.
this is one of those things. So did you then get the idea of starting the blog from someone else, or did you just want to document your progression and your experiences? Like, what was your trigger for starting the blog?
I think it was more I just wanted to write about my experiences. And at the start, I would write the blog and share it on my Twitter. I would never put it on Instagram or Facebook or Snapchat where my friends could see it. It would be on Twitter where if they stumbled across it, they stumbled across it. But I did start writing things a little bit more. As obviously through Starfish, I met people like Adam Wright, as I knew of Adam Wright before the course. And then I actually met him on my first course, so that definitely helped. And him doing his vlogs and videos and seeing him on Villa View made me think, oh, maybe I could do that. But I wasn't ready to start speaking straight away. So I started writing stuff, started a little blog website, and it just slowly grew. And then when I released my story for this time last year, then that's where the blog sort of blew up a lot more, when I shared it on Facebook, when I shared it on different places. And again, I had a really positive response and made me think, why didn't I do this sooner?
That's a really interesting point you say that, because even at the age of 19, you still think that you could have done more. But it's people like me who have really kicked on this journey in my late 20s and other people in their 30s, they're thinking the same. So if you tell them that, then they'll probably will say, hey man, like this stuff that you are doing is going above and beyond, even in your teenage years. So it just bodes so well for the future. Just to give us an idea of the response from the blog, how many countries did it reach, and what was the kind of feedback you received from people?
Well, the countries for that blog I did for ISAD 2019, I think it was around 30 something countries.
Wow.
And that was very much, you know, countries like the UK, America, as you would expect, but it was also places like Hong Kong, Vietnam, Kenya, Venezuela, Philippines, you know, places where you wouldn't expect them to care about what I've got to say, what I think is the best way to put it. So I felt like I had different readers from there. The same now with the podcast, I've got a listener in Hong Kong who listens to every one of my episodes.
Brilliant.
I don't understand why they do. But every episode from the very start they've listened to. And it's the same now. I always feel very humbling in some ways. So that was a brilliant response. And then it's an interesting one because it kind of just carried on from there. Like, I'm not saying the response has been consistent, but since having that response on ISAD, it's encouraged me to push myself more. So I've kept doing things to try and raise awareness, help other people, talk about stuttering from there until today, really. That's just what I try to do, whether it's through talking to people, whether it's through podcasts or Facebook posts, videos, YouTube. That's what I've been trying to do since then, slowly building my way up as well in the terms of my confidence, having the confidence to go from writing a blog to recording a podcast, talking about myself, and then recording a podcast, interviewing someone who stutters, to interviewing someone who doesn't stutter, to now where I interview celebrities alongside a lot of other inspiring people. So it's all been a journey, really, and it's still, you know, a long way to go, but I'm definitely on the right tracks, I think.
Very, very good. Do you pre-plan what you want to hit and target, or is it like, did the blog just come up as a possibility and then you went for it, or was that something that you had in the back of your mind? In the same way, did the podcast just appear and you said, yeah, I'm going to start a podcast in a week's time? Or is that something that you wanted to do for some time?
Oh, no, I absolutely had no interest in podcasts at all. You know, I never listened to them, never even knew anything about them before my own. But it just came to me. It was, you know, I was doing the blog and I was going okay. But I thought, how can I push myself? And then I did a guest appearance on Pedro Pena's My Stuttering Life podcast. So maybe you could say that planted the seed, as Pedro's been a good mentor to me over the podcast. He's always happy to ask or answer any questions. So maybe that planted the seed, but it just came a time where I thought, What can I do to charge myself? What can I do that purely relies on speaking and your voice? And that's why I thought, start a podcast. So then I did one about myself. Then I sort of just left that for a little bit and left that for a few months. Then lockdown happened. I thought, right, let's actually go for it. But interviewing other people, interviewing a few people I know, some strangers, just to, again, push myself and put myself in these challenging speaking situations to see what my speech is like and see where I can go next.
Brilliant. I think that's one of the reasons why we started our show, SHP Unfiltered, which we had Callum actually as our daily fan. It's in the same way you got your fan from Hong Kong. When we started that show, we had in mind more of a radio type show where we would just be on air for a certain period in the day and just chat about kind of whatever people were commenting, and we'd have one overarching topic and talk. But in the same way, like, we just started it just because, hey, we had so many plans before lockdown started. Like, so many plans, and we were literally going to kick off things in April, and then everything changed. So we just thought, like, let's use this as an opportunity, because people are at home, so it's a good time to actually, like, take people's attention, and then be a focal point. So that was one of the reasons why we started it, and it was just so much fun, so much.
It was. Yeah, I really enjoyed watching every day. And then I even got the honor to appear on one episode. But it was only then when I actually first came across you guys and FHB was in the start of lockdown. Because obviously I had AO on the podcast. And then he talked to me about SHB. And it sort of piqued my interest. And now, however many months down the line, all this has happened again. But again, it's been, again, a roller coaster with SHB as I went from knowing nothing about you in March to, well, yeah, a lot happened in those few months, really.
I actually have a short story that I was saving for this podcast that I wanted to share with you, and it's about you actually. So I remember seeing your ad, your post for the 2.6 challenge, and you wanted to do a continuous Facebook Live for 2.6 hours on behalf of Stammer, and then have people jump in and out and stuff. I think at that point there were like a few li limitations to the basic Zoom membership. So then I thought, well, I personally thought that was a great challenge. So we had the SHB Zoom, the advanced package or whatever. So I spoke to the guys and I said, hey, like, I just asked them if they had any meetings that day, if it was clear. I said, shall we give this to this Callum guy? I said, hey, I've got a good feeling about him. Do him a favor and see what happens. And then they were like, are you sure? I said, yeah, I've just got this, I just have this feeling. And I think that was kind of the start of the love affair between SHB and the show, I think.
Yeah, I think it was. As I knew bits about it, I think I maybe attended the reading club a handful of times before. But then that was really, yeah, since then, it's just gone. I went from not knowing you to obviously being allowed to use your Zoom for the 2.6 challenge. And I had you, AO, and CJ supporting in the comments throughout. And then fast forward again a few months down the line, and I'm hosting the morning reading club, morning speech club, and again, the common theme in my life is I don't really know how I've ended up here. you know, I always think, how has this happened? And that has been the common theme, especially of these last 12 months, is how have I ended up here?
To be honest, I get the same feeling as well. But the key factors I can see that have benefited you is the first thing is you put yourself out there. And the second thing is you take opportunities. And if you keep doing that, then A, opportunities are going to keep coming your way. And B, you're going to take them, and then that could lead to something else and more. And we're going to actually get onto that a bit more about your second season of the podcast, interviewing some people that we grew up with on TV back a decade ago and stuff. And I just think it's pretty cool because I've seen quite a few people go down this venture, but they get typecasted or they get boxed up into purely stuttering related content or stuttering related activities, and there is a danger you can just turn into that guy,
yeah,
girl. But there's so much more to you as a person, and that season two I think is perfect because it just demonstrates a lot more of the skills and interests that you personally have. So yes, season two, where did the idea of expanding the horizons of the podcast come from?
Well, you know, I did season one, recorded that, really enjoyed it, but there was no real theme with season one. It was sort of a mixed bag in the terms of guests and their stories. You know, it was obviously very good, but I was thinking, what can I actually do to get things more concise, maybe? So I thought, you know, what actually matters to me? And obviously I'm a male and mental health, and I thought that's something that's not talked about at all. So if I could focus on maybe the masculinity and mental health audience, that'd be really good, as I'm in a lot of podcast groups, and there's always a lot about women and empowering women podcasts, but I thought I haven't seen many about men for male-based podcasts. So I thought maybe I could step into something, try and get a range of guests. Obviously, some people who still stutter, some people with stories, some who are celebrities being on TV. And it all came by chance again. I had a chance encounter with Mark Coleman at MBE, who's a Paralympic cyclist, and he's become a good friend of mine. He's helped me out a lot, and it's been, again, like I said, it's about taking the opportunities, and I was taking these opportunities, and yeah, season two has gone beyond my wildest expectations again, as some of the people I've interviewed, I've switched the camera off after the interview, shut my laptop down, and thought, how have I managed that? In the space of not even 12 months, I've gone from not wanting to speak, avoiding all speaking situations, stuttering badly in most situations, whether that was with family, friends, strangers, to interviewing people like Colin Jackson, the CBE, and comedian Dane Baptiste. And it's people like that thinking, how have I interviewed Dane Baptiste? I've watched him on 8 out of 10 Cats and Live at the Apollo and Mock the Week. And now I speak to him on social media. I've interviewed him. And yeah, the words aren't there. I don't have the words for what's happened, really.
That's a never ending dream for you, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And it's nice to have that urge to keep going, keep interviewing, keep meeting all these different people. And yeah, it's all going really well.
One thing I wanted to ask you about that particular angle of the podcast, especially when you said there's quite a lot of things out there for females empowering each other and like female progression, etc. I think it's quite interesting where for for like female-based podcasts, it's about empowerment and them achieving against some kind of obstacles and different things going against them. When it comes to male ones, like the way to share that side of it, you kind of have to take the opposite approach and highlight vulnerabilities and certain stories where it has shown times of more struggle and a lot more of them sharing insecurities or just really negative things about them. But then turning that into like a lesson for people. What have you personally learned from like hearing these stories as a young person?
Yeah, it has been very inspiring to me hearing them. What I've always said is, even if my episodes don't talk about mental health as such, or in those words, or talk about struggles and hardships, just by having two men, two blokes having that open and honest conversation, that's what really matters. You know, just encouraging men just to talk about anything, as that can really help. But I've learned quite a lot, like particularly when I interviewed Mark Ormrod, who was a former Royal Marine who lost three limbs, and he's the only triple amputee to survive the Afghan conflict. Having the honour to interview him was incredible, as that was someone who was on my wish list, who I thought, no, I'm not going to be able to get Mark Ormrod on the show, but I did. And it's all about mental resilience. It's all about how you view yourself, how other people view you. As I did an interview with an Australian who was addicted to drugs, and he said that even though he's been clean for 3 years, he will always see himself as an addict. He'll always see himself as a drug addict until the day he dies. And I spoke to other people who have similar stories, not so much to do with the drugs, but they don't see themselves as alcoholics anymore. So it's really taught me that your perspective of yourself is ultimately the only thing that matters, and that's how other people will see you if that's how you see yourself, which is quite a deep message, really.
Yeah, completely. And I guess when they have their opportunities to come on a podcast or go on the news or put a book out there, then that's their way of constantly putting that version of themselves out there, because it helps for people to find that peace by sharing that. Because as men, we tend to keep things inside, and that's probably when things go wrong. There's a story in the news today that I'm not sure if you are aware of, but there was an academy player from Manchester City who got and he took his own life, which is incredible. Because I don't know, like when I saw that, I just felt really speechless. Especially you're probably aware of the fundraiser that I'm doing for the Samaritans at the moment, and it's just geared towards the awareness of these services that are just out there and free. People just need to like reach out, and just, it should be normalized to ask for help. But that's the problem, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. I saw that in the news today about the former Man City academy player. He was 17, so that's 2 years younger than me. And that's very, you know, at the age of 19, it shouldn't be normal for me to see people my age or younger than me passing away. And particularly where I come from in the valleys, over the last few weeks, there's been quite a few stories about young men similar to my age. Like, no one who I know personally, but people who I've seen on nights out, people who I've seen, I would recognize their face, have taken their own lives. And that's just given me more motivation to raise awareness, because it gets very close to home sometimes. It's probably the same for you where you're from.
Yeah, same for me as well. There's especially A, in the area, and B, within my ethnic community as well. So I'm Tamil. We originate from the north of Sri Lanka, and is a fairly small community. So when someone passed away, or if someone takes their own life, then people hear about it. It tends to be some friend or friends, or some kind of friend's uncle or auntie or cousin, or that kind of stuff. And there's been certain stories that have been out there in recent years, various types of things, and it just hits home when these things happen, because they probably would not have expected to do that to themselves 2 years ago. And they could have been the ones seeing another story and thinking, my God, that's really bad. Then 2 years later is them actually the subject of that story. And it just goes to show that if you don't like reach out and ask for help with the amount of services out there, then you can kind of go down that slippery slope.
Yeah, you really can. And like, that's why I'll always make an effort to reach out to people, whether I know them, I don't know them, whether they're a man or woman. If I see someone put something up on their Snapchat, Instagram, whatever, saying they're feeling down, having a hard day, or something's happened, even if it's just dropping a little message, making sure they're okay, to someone I've never spoken to before, I'll always try to do that.
Like with my fundraiser for the Samaritans, so we have a Facebook group with all of the fundraisers and stuff, and people just kind of share updates and that type of thing. And have a guess how many people are in that group fundraising this month?
Is it in that the hundreds or thousands?
Oh no, it's like just over 100 probably.
Yeah.
Or 150. Then in terms of active people, probably about 50 to 60, but have a guess how many guys are in there.
I say it's, part of me wants to say it's more guys, but I don't know if it will be.
Dude, you can count them on a single hand.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
It's all females, pretty much. And if I look at posts from the past 2 weeks, it's only me and a second guy on there.
Wow, that's... Yeah, it shows a lot more work to be done, really.
Yeah, and maybe as well, like, a bit more activity from men to actually recognize that there is a problem, because I think with the statistics around suicide, females more often attempt to do it.
All right, yeah.
So they would have an attempt and then pull out, and then eventually they could do it, or just try a few times and then just stop at the last minute. There's quite a bit of that. With males, there are less attempts, but they are more likely to complete one. And when I read that, I just felt really dark inside. There was something about that made my stomach sink. That by the time you kind of get to that point where you just want to end things, men generally are just a lot more, I'm done, and just get it over and done with. And preventing people from getting to that point, just has to start with asking for help, because I can't imagine that many thinking that, yeah, like I have to speak to the Samaritans or speak to this charity, because there is an emphasis to put on a tough exterior.
Yeah, it is.
But you can do that, but there could be so much happening in the background taking you towards that dark point. Was there anything that you picked up from a certain guest or guests that, like, maybe in their darkest times, you can kind of take that lesson and incorporate it for yourself? Does anything come to mind?
Yeah, the first thing is when I interviewed the former paratrooper, Nick Dunn, who was imprisoned for 5 years in Chennai, was part of the Chennai Six. And he said what kept him going was that he knew he would make it home. Whether that took him a year, 5 years, 10, 20, he knew he would always make it home regardless. And if you take that metaphorically, I think that's what's really stuck with me, as no matter how bad you're feeling, how whatever's going on, whether you're having a rough day, a bad day, you're feeling not confident about yourself, for people who stepped in for your speeches, challenging for a day, you will make it, you will get to home. Whatever your idea of home is, you've just got to keep that faith, you've got to keep pushing on, really. You've got to keep, whether that's easy, and I'm sorry, not whether that's challenging or very challenging in some cases, you know, to do the same thing every day, you've got to have that belief that you're doing it for the right reasons, that you know that it will work out in the end if you want it enough.
That is quite profound, I think. And you can really apply that to so many things. And when you were explaining that, I was just thinking purely of speaking, like even trying to get to the next sentence or like the next paragraph, or just progressing through some kind of interview process. Just to change the angle slightly, so you've done all these cool things. Now, when you started university last month, you rocked up your bag and you were setting up your boom mic and everything, and you started to meet your housemates. They must have been like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
What type of reactions did you get from your friends when they first met you, and then you started to talk about some of the cool parts of Callum Schofield?
Well, the first point I like to make is when I shared this year's video for ISAD Day 4 days ago, the first people to like, share, comment and give me support were the people I've met in uni. There's a group of six of us, six or seven of us even, and they were the first six people to really support me that day. So that's something that came slightly unexpected, but I was talking to CJ about it and we said that it's probably because you make these more authentic friendships, the more authentic you are personally. So that's definitely something to pick up on. But at the start, I knew a few people. I knew two of them well, but obviously two out of 400 accommodation is not a lot in the grand scheme of things. But yeah, the reaction was really positive. Like everyone wanted to record a podcast as a group, which we did. I think everyone, it was something a bit different. We all had our own little different thing that we're interested in or wanted to do. And mine just happened to be that I do a podcast, and that got everyone excited. You know, I name dropped a few people, and then that's obviously always a good thing. Not in a cocky way, but in a just, when people ask me who have I interviewed.
Did you do that?
Yeah, just, you know, casually drop off a few names, so that was really good. And the more you get to know people, the more open and honest you are. As these little things like our freezer decided to not work and defrost all our food. So one of the boys said to me, can you call reception? And I did it just like that. I thought in the past, people would have said, are you okay to call reception? But with these group of people, they don't treat me any differently at all. The only reason they did is because I wasn't allowed to order the Chinese because I'm Welsh. And they said that they're going to put the phone down on me, which is a very good point. They will have understood what I was saying, so that's a very good point. But I'm not treated any differently. You know, no one will look to me to make sure I can say this or worry that if I can't. It's just we're all exactly the same. And we joke about it. Like, we were playing a drinking game a few nights ago called Ring of Fire, which I don't recommend if you're a lightweight because it hurts.
Ring of Fire is good.
And one of the rounds is you've all got to do word association.
Yeah.
And the person explaining it said, if anyone hesitates or if they stutter, they lose. So I went, wait a minute, how is this fair? You know, just as a joke. And we all had a laugh about it. And it's having that ability just to have a laugh about it. So it's not the elephant in the room. As even with very good friends I got back home, we don't talk about my speech that much. Or sometimes it's still not a worry, but it's not like it is here, if I think is the only way I can put it. And that's because from the word go, I've just been Callum Schofield. It's been nothing else at all. And they know about me. I know about them. We've all got our own insecurities, all our own challenges. And yeah, I've had a really good reaction. It's not even a reaction, I think, is the best way to put it.
Response, maybe.
Yeah, they're all happy about recording a podcast. We did this together, but with regards to actually my speech, they do show an interest in it. You know, they talk about it, but we talk about it like it's anything else. Like it's not a big thing at all, which, yeah, is, again, better than I could have expected.
Very, very cool. And I think that experience that you've had over the last month with them is the conclusion of everything that you've done in the past year to A, start kind of working on your speech and get on that journey, and B, share and express yourself. And then C, like I can see through the stuff you were doing with your own podcast and then taking a few roles with SSB Forums, you've become a leader in that sense. And when you think about friends and that kind of stuff, like it's a bit weird if you say that, yeah, well, I've got a friendship group and I am the leader, but there are certain characteristics that you can bring to a group. And I think like those experiences that you've had and success with your speech and essentially turning it from something really internal and negative, you've turned it into something positive, and you brought along everyone else on this journey with you. And that's what I encourage people to do, to share it, because things progress when you start to bring people on your journey with you, and then they enjoy it as well.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And I think that's something that I don't want to say enjoyed, but it's been nice not having to worry about anything along those lines. It's been very much, it's always been a thing. It's always been part of me, like they know. And that's it, but I brought them on this journey. And because we all met at the start, or at the start of university life, then it's always been them, as I've been open about it and talk about it, just like it's an everyday occurrence. Then, yeah, that's really helped. There's been days when my speech has been strong. It's been days like today when I'm full up of a cold and my speech has been not so strong. But no one minds, you know, no one bats an eyelid what I sound like day to day, because it just doesn't really matter, because they know who I am, like I know who all of them are.
And that's a really positive and healthy friendship that you have built there, which is fantastic. Just for the last bit, Callum, I am giving you the opportunity to ask me anything. AMA.
Oh, what question. What challenges would you like to see me complete for like a university bucket list, you could say? What should I try and do? Like, it can be as embarrassing as possible. You saw what my hair looked like last week.
Yeah, I think I may have to text you those challenges because they may not be appropriate
Right.
for the rating. But challenges, like, do you mean something just different, cool, speech related, or just challenge in general?
Anything really, just what are you thinking?
Okay, look, I'll think of two. I'll give you something that's like productive and something that people be like, that's really good and inspiring, and then something embarrassing
Yeah.
as well. Okay.
Yeah, sounds good.
So, do you know what you could do? You could do a fundraiser for, it could be mental health, something related to men's mental health, and I challenge you to run around your campus naked. If they hit that fundraising target, so you can be quite ambitious with it and maybe put the target at like 3, 4 grand or something, so it doesn't happen. But
Yeah,
imagine if
so,
it happened.
if it did.
But then that could be something for you to think about. And then something that I want you to do, I think I mentioned actually before, find a society or club, get involved, and by the end of next year, get a position in the committee, like looking at vice president, president, treasurer. I think there could be a radio show in Leeds for the university itself. Get involved with that and become a part of the actual show. Something like
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely something to think about, as at the moment there's not a lot going on because of COVID. We've not heard anything about any societies at all, which is a bit
terrible.
worrying. But hopefully, as things progress, then something might happen. But I'm currently trying to, well, I'm part of a five-a-side team, which is something for a start. And we had our first win on Friday. And yeah, it was a good experience, as I was in goal because our normal keeper was away. So Sunday league rules is I ended up in goal, basically. So I was far away from the ball as possible. But we had our first win, so that's 100% record with me in goal.
And
So that's a good start.
how many goals did you concede? That's the main thing.
Right, technically
There we go.
five, but I'm counting three. Because one was a penalty, and five-a-side goals, bottom corner, and there's nothing you can do. Then the other one took a massive deflection, so there was nothing I could do about that. So I'm classing it as three in my book.
Cool. So you conceded 3 goals instead of five, and five were conceded by someone else.
Yes. Yeah, something like that. But
Cool.
again, that's something I wouldn't have done beforehand. Like, just talking when you're being subbed off, when you're on the bench, I've spoken to the subs from the other teams. And in the past, just going to a speaking situation like a five-a-side match would have been something I would avoid, would have been something that I would have had a lot of nerves or anticipation about. But now I look forward to it every week with no fear at all.
Incredible. Callum, before we finish off, I'm going to let you have the last word. Is there anything takeaway point from something that you've picked up at university over the last month, podcast over the last year, or anything that you've heard today? Is there anything that you want to end the podcast on?
Yeah, so two things. First one is just that I want to remind myself that I had a shout out by the rapper example for ISAD Day. He put me on his story multiple times, which is the personal highlight of my entire life now because I love example. And the second thing is just to reiterate what we were talking about earlier with having that vision of home. And if you have the faith and have the resilience to, you know, keep going, to push through the hard days, the challenges, and have that vision of where you want to achieve, that no matter how long it takes, you will get there if you want it enough and you're willing to go through the hard times and put in a lot of hard work. Really, that's all I've got to say is it will be worth it in the end. Just trust the timing and work hard.
Amazing. Callum, thank you very much. Callum Schofield, host of the Schofield Stories, 19 years old, doing so much and doing so well. Thank you very much for coming to the podcast. This was fun. I'll let you sneeze now for the rest of the evening. I can see you hold it in, but thank you very much for coming to the podcast. Much appreciated. That's it from me. Cheers, Callum.
And that's it. Thank you very much for listening to that episode of the podcast with Callum Schofield. Hope you enjoyed it. And please send me feedback, comments, and anything that can help me improve and grow and take this podcast to the next level. Stay safe and look forward to sharing the next one very, very soon.